Hello, everyone. This is Lisa Rosales-Mora coming to you today from the Talking Information Center in Marshfield, Mass. And today is Wednesday, August 20th, 2026. And I will be reading from today's edition of the Duxbury Clipper. And we will begin with another article on the Powder Point Bridge. More time and more information. That's what the town needs to make the best decision for the future of the Powder Point Bridge. According to the Powder Point Bridge Committee, on Monday, Committee Chair Ed Mayo presented a lengthy memo to the Duxbury Select Board detailing the committee's findings and its recommendations. The memo presented 9 points for both. The Massachusetts Department of Transportation has been working on plans for a new bridge. It will cost $172 million, paid for using federal and state funding, not by Duxbury taxpayers. The new bridge would replace the current 40-year-old 2,200-foot-long timber bridge, and it has multiple failed pilings underneath it and requires hundreds of thousands of dollars in annual repairs. The bridge connects the town to Duxbury Beach. There are residents who are against the plan to replace the bridge and want to either repair the current bridge or build another wooden bridge. Neither option is currently supported by MassDOT and would probably have to be funded by Duxbury residents. MassDOT's plans incorporate wood on the outside of the bridge and the pedestrian walkways, but has a cement roadway and cement pilings underneath. In its findings, the committee states the following. The existing bridge requires continued investment. Rehabilitation of the existing bridge remains an engineering alternative, and replacement would create long-term maintenance costs for the town. It also found that the town is lacking a complete maintenance cost estimate, information on a comparable bridge project, and the environmental impacts of the project. The committee also stated that the Federal Historic Review of the bridge, which was first constructed in 1892 before being demolished due to a fire and structural issues in 1986, remains ongoing. This review is under Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act, often referred to as a 106 review. For recommendations, the committee wrote that all viable alternatives, including rehabilitation and replacement, should continue to be considered, and that MassDOT should be asked to see if a rehabilitation of the bridge can be responsibly engineered. Also, the town needs to get a formal maintenance estimate for the replacement bridge and should request that MassDOT provide the town with a list of comparable engineers that could learn about the maintenance. Further, the committee recommends the town get a comprehensive environmental impact report for the bridge replacement project. These matters are not secondary, wrote the committee in the memo. They are central to determining whether the proposed project is financially sustainable, environmentally responsible, technically appropriate, and in the long-term interests of Duxbury. When it comes to rehab, the committee states that MassDOT is evaluating that option. MassDOT has stated that rehab remains under technical evaluation and that its analysis will consider structural capacity, hydraulic performance, and other engineering factors before determining whether rehab is feasible. Select board members were very concerned about the environmental impacts of a replacement bridge, but wanted to know what they would be for all three options. It's very important to understand what the environmental impacts are, says Chairwoman Amy McNabb. The information is out there. We just need to know how to find it. But I've heard that it's something that happens when permitting is already done and construction is just about to begin, said Mayo. The environmental side is almost always last. It's a piece of information that is critical to our decision-making, said Select Board member Cindy Ladd-Fiorini. The board considered asking the Department of Environmental Protection to a meeting to discuss this topic. Why don't we get the DEP to come in and have a chat with us, said McNabb. Finance Committee Chair Betsy Sullivan said, if the town pursues a repair or wooden replacement option and has to pay for it on its own, there has to be discussion about the costs. The conversation about the financial impact has to be front and center because people in this town have let us know loud and clear that their tax bills are something they are concerned about. Resident Kelly Monahan of Birch Street said, this isn't just a cash decision. This is an impact to the culture of the town and to the other business that rely on the bay. Mayo said the decision on the Section 106 review is expected in October, but MassDOT is working toward advertising the replacement project in early 2027, and the federal funding is tied to that schedule. The committee recommends that the town continue working collaboratively with MassDOT while preserving all viable alternatives and using the time available during the ongoing historic review to obtain the information necessary for a fully informed decision. In other business, the Select Board approved an alteration of premises of the liquor license for the Art Complex Museum to include its entire outdoor property and also extended the liquor service hours from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Any events there still require an event permit, which will specify the hours of the event. Organizers say the museum events will not be large or late and will be respectful of all neighbors. They approved the second annual Trunk or Treat at St. George Street Garage from 1 to 5 October 18th. People can come to see Halloween-themed decorated vehicles while trick-or-treating at 260 St. George. They tabled a request to add a member of the Finance Committee and a member of the Fiscal Advisory Committee to the Powder Point Bridge Committee because under the town bylaws, Finance Committee members may not sit on other town boards. They could be added as liaisons, but not voting members. South Shore Conservatory is enrolling for its new SSC School of Dance, a reimagined version of its popular SSC dance program, with more teaching artists, more opportunities to try out multiple classes and styles, and new pricing structure with significant savings. The school is an inclusive, non-competitive, technique-based dance school for all ages. In addition to ballet, ranging from pre-primary to ballet level 6, the school offers classes in hip-hop, lyrical jazz, and contemporary dance. For adults, it offers adult ballet, seated ballet, and yoga. School of Dance is welcoming two new master ballet teachers, Alyssa Igo and Marissa Roman. Go to sscmusic.org. And in the Duxbury Free Library, they have a little free pantry located in the Friends Room. And the pantry is accessible during regular library hours and is stocked with a variety of non-perishable items. Get Up and Go Walking Club at Round Pond Trail. Start your day off on the right foot with the Get Up and Go Walking Club. Make new friends, chat about life, and maybe even get a reading recommendation from a librarian. Get Up and Go meets on certain Thursdays, weather permitting, at Round Pond Trail, 480 Mayflower Street. And parking is available on site. The walking begins at 10:05. It's approximately 1 mile long. For questions, contact Cat at cdwyer@duxbury.ocln.org. And of course, there's drop-in knitting, which meets grab your current work in progress. We are knitters who want to meet more knitters. We are happy to answer all questions. The next meet is August 20th at 10. And Stories on the Lawn for ages 3 through 6. That will happen at 10 a.m. on August 20th. And Books on the Beach. Librarian Sam and Jess will be bringing books to the beach for folks to browse and check out. Pick up a great beach read at this pop-up library event. Setup will be near the resident parking area. Please keep an eye on the forecast as this event is weather-dependent. August 21 at 9:30. And join Sing, Explore, and Create for a music and art experience that provides a safe and encouraging space to explore who we are and what makes us unique. Using active music and art, participants will be encouraged to express interests, strengths, favorite things, people, places, and experiences to help build self-confidence and creativity. What is my story? What do I want others to see? All are welcome to attend this event, and registration is required. August 21 at 10:30. And of course, there's an adult puzzle club. The next meeting will be August 24th and 10. Mahjong Open Play, August 24th at 1:30 and 5. Drop-in crochet and knitting, August 24th at 2:30. And a summer history series, Colonial Rhode Island in the Pequot War and King Philip War. And that is on August 24th at 6:30. Historic Preservation Day. Duxbury's 6th Annual Historic Preservation Day takes place Saturday, September 26th. Sponsored by the Historical Commission, the Local Historic District Commission, Duxbury Rural and Historical Society, and the Duxbury Bay Maritime School. The program gives participants the opportunity to celebrate Duxbury's past through architectural preservation. All events are free. The day kicks off at 10 a.m. with an open house at the Nathaniel Windsor Jr. House, 479 Washington Street, highlighting Duxbury's role in the American Revolution. A historical boat tour of Duxbury Bay presented by Ed Mayo, Chair of the Historical Commission, begins at 11 a.m. Reservations are required. At 1 p.m., Tony Kelso, town historian, will present Duxbury's early deeds and ancient trails. The talk commemorates the lead into 2027 and the 400th anniversary of the 1627 Great Land Divide, which established Duxbury's early homesteads and defined legal ownership for land in what would become America. The talk will be held at the new J. Alden and Virginia Kaiser Center at 105 Alden Street. Participants are also invited to tour the Alden House Museum and Alden First Site at Duxborough Path. And that will take place on Saturday, September 26th. And in other news, new school committee member chosen. On Monday, the Duxbury School Committee and Select Board chose a new member to fill a vacancy on the school committee. The boards voted unanimously to appoint Jenna Weschler of Fox Run to fill the unexpired term created by the resignation earlier this year of Jen Whedon. Weschler was one of three candidates. The other two people who applied were Callie Smith of Brick Hill Lane and Priscilla Nissi of Perry Drive. According to state and town laws, the select board and school committee must meet jointly to hold a public interview process to appoint an interim member when there is a vacancy on the board. The member will serve until the position is up for re-election at the town election. Weschler is an attorney who specializes in education law. She works as a law clerk, providing legal advice to juvenile court justices in Plymouth and other Massachusetts courts. Weschler earned a Ph.D. in political science and was an assistant professor at Wheaton College before becoming a lawyer. She is the service unit coordinator and a troop leader for the Duxbury Girl Scouts, and she has been a Duxbury School Council member and a youth soccer coach. She is currently on the board of Congregation Shirat Hayim and has three children in Duxbury Schools. I have learned firsthand that there is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to children and that families will always have different priorities as they strive to do what is best for their children, she wrote in her application letter. I recognize that decisions made by the school committee can be divisive, but I also believe we have many shared goals as a community. As a school committee member, my focus would be on inclusivity and achieving educational attainment for all students. While our students are all individuals collectively, they are future citizens of the community. Smith is a former Latin teacher in private schools and has been very active on school and town committee. She is currently on the Friends of the Duxbury Library and the Chandler Elementary School PTA and recently finished a term on the school's Strategic Planning Committee. Smith is also active on the Duxbury Adventure Club and has two boys who attend Duxbury schools. Priscilla Nisi retired in June after 25 years as a Duxbury third grade teacher at Alden School. During that time, she served on numerous school-related committees, including various administration, search committees, curriculum committees, the Alden School Council, and two district strategic planning committees. And in weather reflections, several weather stations in our fair town saw a four-day heat wave ending Sunday of last week. As noted by the dropping temperatures last week, we have been cooling down and National Weather Service predictions point toward more normal temperatures for our region continuing into month's end. Our usual highs for mid-August range from the low to mid-80s. Meanwhile, the entire Atlantic Basin is once again showing no tropical disturbance activity as earlier disturbances have dissipated. A typical hurricane season gives 14 named storms. However, thus far this year, we have only seen two, both of which were relatively minor and did not develop into hurricanes. The National Hurricane Center's updated prediction, issued last week, gave a 75% chance of a below-normal hurricane season for the Atlantic. As stated in an earlier column, this is due in part to the presence of a strong El Nino in the southwest Pacific Ocean, which tends to increase the wind shear that moderates tropical storms. Interestingly, an El Nino can enhance Pacific storms in real time. And in other news, we have the Plymouth Seafood Festival, which is on September 26th, 11 to 4, Hedge House Lawn, Town Hall Common, Harbor Masters Building. Fun for the whole family. Sample the best of local lobster rolls, fresh oysters, clam chowder, local beer and wine, crafts and games, clam chowder composition, live music, and marine life exhibits. Rain or shine. For tickets and latest info, visit theheartofplymouth.org. Online registration for the fall-winter term of Before and After Dark begins Monday, August 24th at 7 via the ActiveNet registration system. Mail-in registrations will be accepted between Tuesday, August 25th at 9. Go to duxburyk12.ma.us/page/before-and-after-dark for more. And around town, we have Duxbury's Class of 1976 50th Reunion, which will be held at the North Hill Country Club on September 26th at 6 to 10. Go to classcreated.com/Duxbury, Massachusetts to register, or for more, email jeffrichard@cox.net. And come support the Crossroads Mission at its second annual Over the Moon Party, scheduled for Saturday, October 17th at 6 at the Camp Wing Pavilion. For more info, go to crossroadsma.org/overthemoon. And in other news, the Republican Town Committee is hosting a barbecue. Join the Duxbury Republican Town Committee on Thursday, August 20th for the annual summer barbecue potluck. The event will be held rain or shine, 5:30 to 10. 5:30 at 10 Mayflower Street. Come and share a meal and catch up on town and state news and meet the candidates for the upcoming election. For more information, call Lynn at 781-710-0094. Duxbury's annual Labor Day Beach Party and Bonfire will be held Saturday, September 5th at Duxbury Beach from 4 to 10. Celebrate the end of summer with live music, a roaring bonfire, and time with family, friends, and neighbors. Mike Kane performs from 4 to 6, Neon Crush performs from 6 to 10, and the bonfire lighting is at 8. Food will be available for purchase or bring your own picnic and enjoy dinner on the beach. Admission is free. For more info, go to DuxburyCelebrates.com. And in other news, we have a reader's view. He's a Duxbury treasure. Thank you, Mickey White and Harbor Lights Theater, for a fabulous night out. I wish everyone had the opportunity to see Dear Evan Hansen in Hingham. Mickey brought Broadway to us. No going to New York City or Boston, and the next production will be in Duxbury. I am no expert, but I have taught school for a zillion years, and I recognize talent, ambition, and passion for something. Just when Duxbury needs something positive to focus on, we have Harbor Lights Theater. Karen Papalardo. Reader's View, there's no comparison between bridge arguments. The town has seen two presentations about the future of the Powder Point Bridge. The first presentation was by a noted wooden bridge expert who was employed by the town and the Save the Bridge group to evaluate the bridge. The second presentation was by the state-sponsored Mass Department of Public Works. By comparison, the wood bridge presentation was more of a classroom lesson on the properties of wood than a remedy for the town. He showed a cavalcade of photos of worldwide wooden bridge projects as he personally was involved. He also showed pictures of failed concrete and steel bridge projects, supporting his advocacy for wood construction bridges. Conveniently, those pictures were not explained because they were there just presented for the shock effect. Opinions of that presentation ranged from, "Wow, I learned a lot about wood," to, "It was a self-serving sales pitch." So the question is, was his presentation informative enough to help the town make an informed decision? Not hardly. If anything, it just left us with more questions than we had before his presentation. When asked about the cost of restoring our bridge to usable condition, he said he would need to conduct further studies at an additional cost to the town. Come on! We did that. We did have projections about our bridge, but nothing concrete. No pun intended. Those projections were based on maybes and what-ifs. Conversely, the DPW presentation covered every aspect of their concept of a replacement bridge. Design concepts, environmental concerns, including pollution issues, and a complete overview of potential traffic issues. From concept and design to the nuts and bolts of construction, finance, and bridge maintenance prediction, they left nothing in question. They even had a historian to help with historic aesthetics. If you were to compare useful info between the two, simply think of comparing the water content of a grape to that of a watermelon. Common sense and logic tell us the new bridge is the town's best option. Unfortunately, erroneous information that is constantly distributed by self-serving preservationists does nothing but cause angst in the community. If your choice is the DPW Works recommendation, let select board members know by emailing them. Remember that old adage about the squeaky wheel. Now is the time. Dick Brennan, Myrtle Street. And finally, fashion retail is dividing. American fashion retail is in the middle of its strangest reinvention in a generation. TikTok shop and Instagram have turned scrolling into shopping. Resale apps and thrift culture have made secondhand cool rather than a compromise. And yet, against all predictions of a retail apocalypse, physical stores are opening at a faster clip than they're closing. The industry isn't dying. It's sorting itself into two very different survival strategies. The divide is playing out in real time in shopping centers across the country. In every corner of the industry, the same two consumer cravings keep surfacing. The first is curation. After years of TikTok and Instagram algorithms serving up eerily personal recommendations, shoppers expect the same precision everywhere, a feed and, increasingly, a store that feels handpicked for them rather than exhaustive. The second is value that doesn't feel like settling. With inflation and tariffs squeezing budgets, cheap isn't enough anymore. People want to feel smart, not deprived, about how they spend their money. Retailers are responding by picking a lane. Some are doubling down on the shopping experience, offering food, styling, events, and reasons to spend an afternoon rather than 20 minutes. Others are competing purely on value, betting that a great deal delivered efficiently beats ambience every time. Few companies illustrate that fork in the road better than the department store sector, where one chain is pulling dramatically ahead of its rivals. Luxury department stores have had a brutal few years, and the gap between winners and losers has become stark. Saks, Neiman Marcus, Global filed for bankruptcy protection in January after vendor payment problems, inventory shortages, and viral customer service failures eroded shopper trust. What Nordstrom Rack doesn't offer is his flagship's full-service menu. Locally, shoppers will get to see that model firsthand. A new Nordstrom Rack opens September 3rd at Colony Place in Plymouth. It joins J. Crew, Old Navy, Gap, and DSW, and Loft, among others, bringing that leaner, value-driven format to a market that sorely needs more retail opinions. And that's all the time we have today. Thank you very much for listening. I will see you next week.